Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ here with you at 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the number. If you want to get in here, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at R has no J. Different. It's not R got no J no more. You still haven't gotten that back, huh? That's still, that's a shame. That is a shame. R has no J. It doesn't flow as well. It's just not as good. I don't know. You don't say, hey, you have no J. You know what I'm saying? You got no J.
Right. Like, you know, I mean, I didn't want to put like R has got no J. I'm like, that's too long. So I tried to make it as simple, but it just doesn't flow the same.
How about producer RJ or something? You don't
That sounds so generic.
Yeah, I know, but
that sounds so generic. I thought it was a play on words. I mean, I got the nickname R got no J from like my middle school head coach because I would never shoot. Like, I always just played in the post. And so he would call me R, or he would just say, R got no J. And I'd be like, but I had like 18 points like the other night. He's like, yeah, you didn't shoot one jumper. So that's where I got the name.
What's from. That, all putbacks?
No, you give me the ball in the post, feed the beast. I over left and right shoulder, feed me. Oh, are you serious?
It's like something from an old school Fat Albert, yeah. Where a guy's, you know, his name is RJ, but
he just,
hey,
that's it.
RJ, you all got no J. That's like, you're like school on a Saturday.
No class.
Rudy just was cutting people up on that album.
No, that's what he did. We got a busy college football show for you. Dana's going to join us at 8 o'clock this morning. Not his usual 8:30 Thursday time because they play on Thursday night against Tulane. And then Tajon Henry is going to join us right after that. And then Josh Pate to talk college football. So we got a lot of college football, you college football fans right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You said it right, by the way. It's going to school there. It's other people say Tulane, and sometimes I say Tulane. But in New Orleans or in Louisiana, but Tulane. Especially in New Orleans, it's Tulane.
Yeah.
It's Tulane. It's not Tulane. It's Tulane.
Right.
The accent is on the U. It's Tulane. Well, Tulane, Tulane, rock, Tulane.
That's the Cajun coming out in me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. No.
Southside Cajun.
Okay, if you're married to a Cajun, okay, no. You ain't in the community?
No, you ain't a Cajun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
you
I'm in the community.
You may hang around the Cajuns,
oh,
but
in
you
the
ain't
community,
one of them.
Trust me, for 26 years
you can
now.
Be married, but you ain't. You didn't get raised there. You didn't get raised Cajun.
Oh, yeah. No.
Boy, you ain't been raised Cajun.
I'm all about that life. Oh, yeah.
You weren't raised Cajun. You can try all you want. You're still an animal. You're still an animal from Chicago.
No,
that's
in
who
that
you still are.
That community I can claim, okay?
You still can.
Sent my daughter to LSU.
It
okay.
don't matter. She got the okay. blood. You ain't
I
got the blood.
I worked in Lafayette. You
that's
ain't never
like a
worked
Targaryen.
In Lafayette.
You're not a Targaryen.
You don't know nothing about
You're
Lafayette.
You're not a Targaryen.
Okay?
You're not a Targaryen. You can't be a Targaryen.
Oh, yeah.
You can be the father of a Targaryen, but you can't be a Targaryen. Your daughter
in the
is
community.
A, Frankie's a Targaryen.
But
Wendy's a
but
Targaryen.
But I know about that life.
You're that guy who just got burned to death.
No. Wait till you see. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're a Valyrian.
I'm that
if you're,
far.
If you're a Valyrian and not a Targaryen, you get burned. Oh, yeah.
They don't care about you.
No.
That's what I'm saying. That's what you got to be. Well, you got to be on the lookout
now. Well.
You may have Targaryen kids. That don't make you a Targaryen.
Hmm.
So. That's just speaking code.
What I am is an Astro. I'm in the Astros community. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that right now.
It was a fun game yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
What it sure was for that inning was like.
It's the Diamondbacks.
Bang, bang, bang. Alex Bregman, they had three home runs. It went Homer Altuve, second of the night. A slappy single that just made it out of the infield. Kind of a blooper by Jeremy Pena. Then you had Hensley came up, went oppo, line drive oppo to right field too. And then Alex Bregman hit one of the longest home runs I've ever seen him hit in Minute Maid Park. I mean, it was a rocket shot off the bat, cleared the tracks. Just an absolute bomb. So in a 23, by the way, that was all with two outs. All that happened with two outs. So in 23 total pitches for Anderson, there were three home runs and a single. So a game that was already, 4-1, got busted wide open after that.
So I was happy to see Hunter Brown work his way out of the jam the other day. Mm-hmm. In a tight game against the Orioles, he comes in, loads the bases with nobody out, and is able to get out of it on a strikeout, a ground out, and then I forget how the last guy got out, whatever.
Right.
It wasn't as fun yet last night watching him get out of a bases-loaded jam. It just wasn't. He put the first two. Now, he walked the first guy, and the second guy hit a bloop. It was 60 miles off the bat, 60 miles an hour off the bat. So a little blooper, a duck snort, to left field that fell in for a base hit. A Texas leaguer, duck snort, whatever you want to call it, falls in for a base hit. The next guy hits a rocket to and Jeremy Pena makes an unbelievable play. Just awesome. Diving, 108 off the bat. Diving, throws to second. Altuve throws low. Gurriel couldn't dig it out. And they got runners now at first and third. He loads the bases again. He's able to get out of it. I'm happy that he's able to get out of it, but it took him almost 30 pitches to pitch the inning.
Yeah, it's a concern because he's pitching from a bullpen, which is less time to get ready.
Yeah, right.
You don't have your mental makeup the same.
And he doesn't have his command.
Well, that's the concern is bullpen pitchers cannot, you know, it's one thing to get dinged up by a solo home run. It's another when you're putting men on base, you give a team a chance to break it wide open. He does not have post-game experience. He barely has any major league experience. So while he's got a sky-high ceiling, well, it's just no guarantee that mentally he's never had to pitch in situations like this. I mean, this is all new to him. And so he's going to go right from the, you know, he's going to go into the frying pan pretty quickly in the postseason. So, I mean, there's no guarantee that Hunter Brown is going to be mentally ready for this. We have to keep that in mind for as much as we want to act like you just step right in and there's no difference between a game against Arizona and a game against the Blue Jays. There is going to be a difference. There's going to be a big difference in facing competition in the playoffs and in facing, you know, regular season competition. So the walks concern me a little bit, and you do like to know that he has the stuff to get out of it, but you're going to be facing teams that have a chance to really, you make mistakes and they can make you pay for it. We saw that in 19 with Washington. Washington didn't need, you know, the Nationals just needed you to open a door a little bit. Same thing with the Braves, Washington and the Braves, because there were some lower scoring games with the Braves too. You get scrappy hitters that foul it off. Before you know it, you're on a high pitch count, a higher pitch count than expected, and then, you know, and then all of a sudden there's a double in the gap and two runs score. And it's just with the Astros offense, sometimes that can be really tricky. So, and that's with any pitcher. But my point is that Hunter Brown, yeah, this is back-to-back outings where he's had to face bases-loaded situations. And while he got out of it, he got himself into it, too.
Yep. Do you remember a couple months ago we looked at Jose Altuve?
No, I know exactly which, because he was 297 before the home run. So he's probably about 99?
98 right now.
98?
What do you think? Now, if you had to bet on it.
No,
back and looked at it and said, no, he's not going to hit 300.
No, I still say no.
You still say no?
But, I mean, yeah, but that's not the story. Like, 300 is just a number. The story is, Jose Altuve, do you know what his OPS is? He's up over 900.
Over 900, yeah.
He's got the highest home run total. Is this of his career?
You looked at his stats and said, hey, well, he hasn't hit 300 since blah, 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 so I'm not. 300 is a number. 300 is a real number in baseball, so it is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, but I don't really care about 300. Like, what I care about is the season he's having right now.
Yeah.
I don't care about that magic mark. What I care about is his OPS is over 900. 900 is a mark now. That's a serious mark because it shows you're not just, you know, you can be a slappy hitter and hit 300. Jose Altuve is hitting almost 300 with an OPS over 900 right now. He's got 28 home runs in this stage of his career, which is absolutely outstanding. The season he's putting together, I was thinking about this, the season he's putting together right now, I mean, he's 32 years old right now. And this is going to be, He's got a chance. Well, he did have 31 home runs last year, so he's got 28 right now. He had 31 home runs in 2019 as well. In his last three seasons without a COVID season, you know, taking away 20, he's got 31, 31, and now 28 home runs. Jose Altuve's got a chance to get three straight seasons with 30 home runs. Only this, in his OPS numbers during that time, 903 in 2019, 838 last year, and right now, I take it back, his OPS is 919. So it really jumped yesterday after the second home run, too. So he's got a 919 OPS right now. 919. 900 is high.
Absolutely. Yeah, I you know what? There's only 13 guys that are hitting 300. The 300 still means something.
Oh, yeah,
the average still means something because you get the batting title is still the average.
Yeah, but in baseball, they don't care about
it. Yeah, 300 means
something. I mean, you care about it.
Absolutely means something.
But baseball people don't care about 300. Then if 300 means something, then 240 means something, too. Then you got to point out the negative batting averages.
Absolutely. If a guy's hitting 240, he's not having a good year.
That's the thing. No, that's not true. Not if they're hitting home runs and driving runs in.
Yeah, but the best players are hitting for average and for OPS.
The best
players are.
The best players typically. But average is much different now. It can be 275 and you're still having a good season. It wasn't like that when we were growing up.
Yeah, right. There's only – well, and it's nice. He is fifth in the league right now with that 919 OPS.
He's fifth in the league?
Fifth in the league. It's Aaron Judge, Yordan, only two guys over 1,000.
Wow.
Paul Goldschmidt, Freddie Freeman, Jose Altuve.
Dude.
He's ahead of Machado. He's ahead of Arenado, Otani, Riley, Devers, Betts.
Wow.
Yeah. Pete Alonso, all of them. Jose Ramirez, who is an unbelievable hitter. So Jose Altuve is having himself an unbelievably. Now, he has really, really come on. So let's take a look. I mean, over the last couple of months, he's been spectacular.
He's been red hot.
This month, Jose Altuve is over 1,000 OPS, 1,074.
And we're almost done.
952 in August. Just spectacular. 872 in July. In June, 831. See, he was.
No, it's been a consistent, other than
May. In May, he was over 1,000. He started at 518 in April, but that was just a half a month, not even a half a month.
Yeah, 36 at-bats. June, he hit 242 in June, but still had an 831 OPS. I mean, he still put five home runs on a board, which is more than he had in July and more than he had in August.
In August, he hit 330. In September, 357 he's hitting. Goodness gracious. He has just been spectacular. It is so good. Now, Yordan rolled his ankle last night. Hopefully that's not going to be a big deal. You just worry about the dude, his hand, his knees, his ankle. It's just like, oh, my goodness. So if Yordan is at his best, if Yordan is feeling great, and Altuve's doing what he's doing at the
right
top
now.
Of the
we
order.
We know that.
Tucker, over 100 RBIs. He can steal 30, 20, and hopefully he'll steal some more bases. Bregman.
See, we're not worried about the offense anymore.
Well, we still are.
Everything's fine.
I still think it's the number one concern in the postseason.
It's still inconsistent.
It's still the number one concern in the postseason. They said something on the show, on the broadcast last night that I want to bring to the table when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, how are you going to get to the games when the tickets are so tough to get?
Well, you're going to go to my friends over at Simple Seats and... Listen, so Simple Seats, you can do this exercise right now. Pick any Astros game that is left over. I said left over before the playoffs. Any Astros game at all. And then go to Ticketmaster. Go to your your SeatGeek. Go to StubHub. Go to any of those sites. I don't care about Mensch calling them out by name because they're going to be higher. What you're going to see is you may see the additional price will be a little bit lower than Simple Seats, and then go all the way through checkout now. Go all the way through checkout and find out what it is at checkout, and that's when the hammer drops. The average is about a 20% increase at checkout. Some go as high as 25. Most of them are about 20% higher because of fees. They tack fees on there. They add the 20%, and then you end up paying for that. So the price that you think you see, it turns out to be a bait and switch. And in actuality, you usually save 20%, but sometimes as high as 25% with my friends over at Simple Seats. That's because they never have fees. Literally never have fees. You are going to be able to get your tickets for the Cougars, for the Rockets, Texans, Dynamos, Astros, Longhorns, Aggies. Those all come with no fee. So you get the best seats at the best prices with no fee. So when you're looking to get to playoff baseball, you better make sure that you're going with Simple Seats, because they are the company that's going to give you the best prices with no fees. And I promise you, once you hit checkout, you'll find out there's an enormous difference between Simple Seats and the other guys. Go to SimpleSeats.com, and until the playoffs start, you can still use promo code Lance10 for $10 off your first order of 50 or more.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
All right, time to talk about betting, okay? There's some bets out there this weekend. I mean, I know it's going to be tough with the hurricane and everything else, but there's a lot of college football games that are being played, and you know what? Could be a lot of slop. Could be a lot of underplays here. This is something that you got to think about. Think about all the weather when you're betting. And listen, there's money out there. There's money out there to be made, and you can make it at MyBookie. There are all kinds of different angles that you can take when you go to MyBookie. You got NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, UFC. What is it that you want to bet on? You got it all. MyBookie gives you the most for your money with a double deposit bonus. It's quick and easy. $250 if you deposit, you get $500 to play. If you could deposit $500, you get $1,000 to play. They double your deposit. So if you're looking for the best way to play, win, and get paid, and double your initial deposit or your deposit period, it's all at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, last night during the broadcast, it was interesting. I mean, they both work for the Astros, so, you know, they're going to be as positive as they possibly can. But they were talking about Mancini and Vasquez, and they were talking about the acquisitions. And, you know, man, Vasquez is difficult. I mean, he's come in. When you play as little as he does, it's so hard to hit. And yet he comes in, and he seems like he's a professional hitter. Dude just gets up there, and he's able to come through, even in a pinch hit situation, which is one of the hardest things in sports to do, mm-hmm. is just come off the bench, face a reliever that's throwing 100, and try to get a hit. So they were talking about last night. They said, you know, these guys are both better than we've seen them, Mancini and Vasquez. There's a good chance that we're going to see the best of them in the postseason. Do you think that's logical?
Yeah. I think it's almost random at this point.
Well, they're going to face the best, better pitching than they faced. You know, let's face it, Astros don't play the toughest schedule.
It's hard to say anyone's going to be the best they're going to be against the better team.
And first of all, Vasquez has postseason experience, plenty. Mancini doesn't have any.
No.
So this is, listen, and I have a feeling that Mancini struggles. I mean, I'm from the bleachers here, I'm throwing this out there. But when you join a new team, you want to impress your teammates. You know, there's more pressure because you want to show them you belong, especially on a winning team. This dude's used to batting third, fourth, fifth in the lineup. He's thrown down to seventh and eighth here. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to prove that he's, you know, World Series capable. He wants to prove to his new teammates that he's a really good player so that you add some pressure to it. Now add postseason pressure to it, mm-hmm. which he's never been in before. I'm hoping that that's the case.
I don't think he'll play a ton. I wouldn't get too worried about what Mancini's going to do, because I think Mancini is a guy who, I mean, unless you want Aledmus coming off the bench because of the value he has with multiple position flexibility, if there's an injury or whatever.
Well, you can always move him around. You always got that.
Well, but yeah, I guess if he's in the lineup, you could. Yeah, that's true. That's true. You could do that.
But, yeah. Listen, hey, I was the biggest Mancini proponent, but, you know, when you're hitting 190 with the team – Hey, and Ledmus Diaz, the way he's hitting, you got to play with Diaz.
Is he hitting 190 with the team?
Yeah, I'm since he's
come over.
Oh, my
gosh. That's atrocious.
Well, I mean, he's just gotten a steady. They don't even throw him fastballs anymore. Just a steady dose of sliders. That's all he's going to get in the postseason. Yeah. I mean, the book on him is throw him a slider.
Yeah, I don't really see why, if we're talking about the Astros offense needing, you know, from time to time, like Baltimore just shuts him down for the most part. Why would you have a guy like Mancini in the lineup at all?
Well, he brings some pop.
So what? Bring pop off the bench.
Right, right.
There's really no reason to have a guy who's hitting 190. You've already got Machete in the lineup probably. Why would you want two guys hitting that low? That makes no sense.
Right.
Maybe if Vasquez is in the lineup, you put Mancini in the lineup because at least you have one guy. You're subbing out one 200 hitter for another one. But in Mancini, or Machete to Mancini. But I don't think Mancini is going to be a big factor because he's just not been a successful hitter. He's got pop, but so does Machete, has decent pop for being a guy that's hitting under 200. Mancini obviously has more. But, yeah, if I'm Dusty, I'm really not playing him a whole lot. He's proven to you he's not really going to hit with you.
He's really, really scuffled, man. He's only hitting... This in September, 162. He's got a 602 OPS. Dusty had to bench him in Baltimore where, you know, he was beloved.
Look at his standing ovation. Look at his strikeout totals.
Yeah. Strikeouts 19 this month with 12 walks. So, I mean, that's not horrific, but 19 strikeouts and 68 at bats. That's not good. It's one every three at bats. It's about, just under one every three at bats. So, that's not something that you're looking for. If he has to sit again, I was hoping that. Listen, you and I talked about it on the video that we did yesterday. There's a chance that neither of the acquisitions. One of the things that you had to do this trade deadline was to bolster the lineup. That was what you. I mean, the bullpen was fine, and the bullpen has been fine. Especially with your call-ups and everything else that's going on. I mean, Seth Martinez is a rookie. Hunter Brown is a rookie. How well they're pitching. The rotation didn't need anything defensively. You're just fine. What you needed to do was bolster the lineup if you're Jim Click. And quite frankly, I don't know that you're going to see either of these guys in postseason.
Not a lot. You'll see Vasquez more than Mancini, hopefully. But there is a love. There is a love for a catcher who handles a really talented staff. And, you know, it's one of the reasons I wasn't sure I loved the idea of a catcher acquisition, just because I felt like, you know, you got a primarily Latin American staff that is at least starters that are really pitching well right now. Do you want to jerk around with that? Well, it turns out you get a guy, Spanish speaking catcher, who hits better. And so logic would tell you, okay, let's go. But I think Dusty is the same concern I had I think Dusty is like, I'm not rocking a boat with some of these pitchers. I'm going to stick with the guy that they know, who knows them, and who I've succeeded with. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, Dusty has had great success. Rarely would I be okay with a catcher who's hitting as poorly as Maldonado, but I don't know. I don't worry about batting averages as much as I used to, and I really don't worry about it as much with a guy who's an elite defensive catcher. For the most part, he is. And he's proved it to me for multiple seasons. Like, he's proven what a commodity he is in the postseason with his ability to mow people down and keep people from taking bases on him. So I get why Dusty would. But the other guy has so much more potential to help you two ways.
Yeah.
Like, he's a two-way player.
Yeah.
It's wild that Dusty's not going 3-2 Vasquez. It really is. It makes almost no sense. You want to talk about an analytics-driven team? How is Vasquez not a 3-2 starter on a five-man rotation?
Because there's a human factor. And here's the deal. Nobody is more beloved in that locker room than Machete.
Yeah, that may be true.
Yeah, and the pitchers love throwing to him. Everybody loves him. He's been here
longer.
I didn't say
put him down, make him pay the iron price. I didn't say banish him to the colonies. I just said... let him come off the bench a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, we're going to play him. That's our guy. Dusty said it early on. These are the guys that got us here. These new guys are new guys. And I kind of feel like he still feels the same.
This one's better than the other. This one's better than the guy eating the spaghetti, though. This one right here, he's He's better than the spaghetti-eating guy. Maybe he gets in the lineup a little more. That's why they call him Machete.
Yeah.
I've got that soundbite from Dusty.
Well, he didn't. I don't think he ever said that, per se.
What?
We can't play the sound.
Oh, the spaghetti-eating guy?
We're not allowed. We have an inability. But maybe you can find that. We'll play it tomorrow for everybody. Maybe you can find that soundbite where he said he's better than the spaghetti-eating guy.
Well, it's – I don't know if he – I'm not 100% sure he said that, but I do know he said this.
That's why it's called Machete.
I know Dusty said that one time.
You heard Dusty?
That's why it's called Machete.
He has said that before. So they also put up – do you know what the Astros' record are against the playoff teams in the American League?
It's really, really good.
26-16.
Yeah, that's good.
That's real good.
That's good.
That's good. Do you know what the record is against the team they're probably going to be playing in the postseason in the first round?
Undefeated.
Wrong. That's wrong.
What is it?
Against Toronto, their only losing record is 2-4. They're 2-4 against Toronto. That's a little bit scary because
scared of a team.
And you know me.
That's a little bit scary.
Well, listen. What, the regular season doesn't teach us anything?
I'm just going to call you Fear Factor.
The regular season doesn't teach you anything.
No. What has it taught me? The teams beat the Astros in the opening round? You ever learn that lesson?
No, they don't, but it doesn't worry you at all that the only team that they have a losing record against the team that they'll be playing more than likely?
No, it's irrelevant to me. Okay. Because when they played them, they were also hitting terribly. Alex Bregman was hitting terribly. Yordan was hitting well. When they played them, they weren't the same team. Christian Javier wasn't the same guy. It's irrelevant to me.
Well, let's go back and take a look. It was April.
Oh, was it all the way back in April?
They played Toronto back in April. They lost.
Wait, have they played since then?
April 22nd, and then they played again in...
you mean the only month Altuve stunk?
Yeah, that was...
April?
Yeah, that's right.
Altuve, Yuli, Kyle Tucker, and Bregman. All terrible in April.
Well, all the games were in April, actually.
I don't care about that. I wouldn't have cared if they were in July, honestly. I care about...
Well,
how are the Astros playing now?
Game was May 1st. May 1st.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I really don't. It has no bearing on. And honestly, I don't care what the regular season series was that much if they were losing because no one's ever beaten them in the postseason.
They didn't face.
The Astros haven't proven to you that they have giant balls in the postseason. You still fear teams? The Astros let them swing in the postseason.
But that's true. They faced Verlander once. Verlander gave up 3 earned runs against them. That doesn't scare you?
No, I'm not scared of the Blue Jays. I'm not scared of everybody. Do you have a dog?
I don't.
You need a dog so you don't have to be so scared. Get you a couple pits.
Just wanted to know.
Bill Burr called them.
In April, they lost.
Bill Burr once called them like loaded guns that you can pet. Keep yourself a pit. And just if somebody scares you, like the Blue Jays, just keep them on a chain.
They're 2-4 against the Blue Jays, just so you know.
Oh, and I know. It's all anyone's talking about on this show.
I just want you to know. 713-780. It was April, but okay.
It was so long ago.
All right. Well, in case that my new dog bites me, you know who I got? I got the Morley Law Firm. Well, if your dog bites me, guess what? The Morley Law Firm is here for me. Okay. The Morley Law Firm is here no matter what the issue. And there's a chance you did get bit by a dog that you need a lawyer to settle if they're not paying up. If you got into a car accident, if you got an 18-wheeler, if you're getting divorced, there's a lot of bad stuff that happens in the world. Well, the Morley Law Firm is here to make it as as palatable as possible. In some instances, somebody wronged you. Let's say a doctor wronged you, or an insurance company is wronging you, or another motorist is wronging you. Then you need representation. You need somebody that's going to help you out in this situation. If the police are wrongly accusing you, you need even if they're rightly accusing you, you need representation. And that's what the Morley Law Firm is here for. They are unbelievable. They are just great. They got 80 years of experience, and it's unbelievable how much stuff they do. Everything, any kind of law issue, legal issue that you have, all you need to do is give them a call. Make a call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955 or Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Knees and hips are often a big problem for people because it's just, you know, it's just the way that your life is. Maybe you've been very, very active. Maybe it's you're always sitting or you sleep a certain way or whatever the case may be. That's where a lot of people start having chronic pain. And sometimes that means, oftentimes it means a deterioration or issues with the, you know, the tissue that's in the joint. And same thing can happen with back, with shoulders, with really any joints. And QC Kinetics is what can make the biggest difference. QC Kinetics is a company right here in Houston, and they have three locations. And what they do is they focus on getting the tissue in the joints right, getting them rejuvenated and recovered. They don't use the old methods of, okay, let's just give it a shot to reduce the inflammation. We'll see how that holds up for you. We can have three of these in a year, and then that's it. And then we'll give you surgery, and then you have drugs and downtime. At QC Kinetics, they take the body's healing properties, and they hyper-concentrate them. They put them back into the joints, and what that starts to do is rejuvenate, restore, and regenerate tissue there. It's amazing, but it's something that is a proven fact. The reviews are, go read the reviews about QC Kinetics, but you're also going to find that professional athletes have been using this for well over a decade to get right, and you can too. Get rid of that chronic pain. Why are you trying to put a Band-Aid on it when you can get restorative medicine that's really going to help you out? It's all natural biological therapies and with a great success rate. QC Kinetics. Make sure that you're looking to reduce that chronic pain that you have and avoid the surgeries and the drugs and the downtime. It's QC Kinetics, 713-913-5285, or go to the website qckinetics.com.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
733 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts? It's been all Astros so far. And, I mean, why would we talk about it? I mean, the good news about the Texans this week is that there's rib cartilage problems for Justin Herbert. Joey Bosa hurt. Keenan Allen is coming back. They got Mike Williams. You know, they're really, really banged up. They've got a lot of problems. They lost their left tackle, Slater. They are
for the year.
For the year. And they're really, really, really banged up. So it is it's something they're coming in here. This is the team that the Texans slapped around last year. Mm-hmm. They were shocked at how well the Texans played. Maybe they play really, really well. The good news for the Texans is they, I think the upside is they haven't been blown out.
Joey Bosa is listed as doubtful.
Yep.
Rashawn Slater, that's a major player. Rashawn Slater, major player, left tackle, is out for the year. Keenan Allen is questionable, but he's on pace right now to play. J.C. Jackson is considered questionable, which I would think is going to, you know, be, he's probably going to play. Corey Linsley yesterday.
I don't know that. I'm not sure J.C. Jackson is going to play.
Oh, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully not.
Corey Linsley, if he's banged up, hopefully.
Yeah, Corey Linsley, the center, is questionable. Donald Parham, tight end, questionable. And then Jalen Guyton was put on injured reserve, the wide receiver. So it's a team that is, yeah, that's dealing with a lot of injuries. They're pretty desperate at 1-2. I'm not going to lie. I mean, they may be, they're cornered right now, and they need to come out swinging. So you are probably going to get a pretty focused effort from the Chargers.
But Herbert is feeling it, man. Did you see him wincing, getting up from a hit?
Yeah, the ribs. Oh, no, it was bad early in the game. So the Texans, I think the Texans have a great shot here. I really do. I think this is where the Texans, it would help if you had the fans out there, but there's no guarantee. I mean, you kind of have to earn the fans after this many years. You shouldn't just be given a pass. But I'm hoping the Texans fans get out there. The weather is, it's going to creep back up to 90, but we don't care. It's always 70, 70 degrees in there, so it really does 72 degrees in there, so it really doesn't matter. But I'm hoping that there's a lot of people in there and it's loud, because I do think the Texans have a chance right now to get on the right side against the Chargers. I think they're a very live dog against a Charger team that is beaten up at some key positions. The pass rush, stopping the pass rush, potentially at cornerback with J.C. Jackson. And then, you know, Keenan Allen comes back. It's going to put a lot of heat. I mean, you had an off day. Justin Fields, who's the lowest rated quarterback by 20 points almost in football. He's in the 50s. He has been atrocious. He is currently that was a day off, and even Lovie Smith kind of mentioned that as well.
He's historically bad.
Yeah.
Historically bad. Right now, Justin Fields, there's a story here. I'm going to find it. Justin Fields is historically bad at throwing the football.
Mm-hmm.
And
even when guys are open.
And this is a team that you couldn't get. He's Justin Fields' 297 passing yards through the first 3 weeks is the lowest total since the merger for a starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm. So you had a day off for your corners. You're not going to get a day off against Justin Herbert, Mike Williams, and especially if Keenan Allen ends up playing. So
it's the lowest total for any quarterback who started and finished three straight games at any point in the season since 1975. I mean, three straight games of 297
one
yards
of them
passing
was in,
is awful.
I will say one
in
of them
the
was
slop.
An absolute slop. The other one was they ran the ball at a record rate.
Yeah.
So I think that you do have to put that in context a little bit of, I mean, it was slop.
Yeah, no, but honestly, has any quarterback played?
No, he looks terrible.
Worse than
and him? He looked bad last year. Yeah. But we all gave him a pass last year because the O line was really bad. And
I know
and,
you have to and, put it in context.
And he has no wide receiver. He still has. Here's what could be true. They need now. They're good run blocking, but the pass pro needs to get better. But let's say pass pro needs. They definitely need to keep fortifying. Although the rookie left tackle's playing okay, but here this can all be true. Don't have enough receivers. Ding. Needs to keep improving the offensive line. Ding, not playing good quarterback. Ding, they can all be. A lot of people want to say, well, it's just Justin Fields because he doesn't have protection and doesn't have wide receivers. Well, obviously, really, like A-plus receivers, guys like A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, they're going to make anybody better. Anybody and every quarterback is going to get better with these types of weapons.
Well, so and not of course, only that. Listen, with that running game,
but you could
with
be
that
bad.
Running game in the NFL, if you ain't throwing, if you can't throw the ball, if you're this historically bad,
yeah,
that to me is the biggest indictment.
Well, I think it is a little of everything. He's not a good quarterback right now. The receivers aren't good enough, and the offensive line needs to get fixed. I talked to Ryan Poles after their GM after week one, and. You know, he just said, look, and I understand this. Everything can't get fixed in 1 year. They didn't even have a first round pick. Yep. So they chose the best players they could find with their first two picks. But my point is, you didn't really have to do a whole lot of work if you're a cornerback against the Bears. All of a sudden, your work rate's about to spike against the Chargers. What were you going to say, RJ?
Well, I know that we've been talking about Davis Mills pretty handedly the last 2 days and saying that, you know, decisions kind of been made on him. You know, he's not a franchise quarterback. I just wanted to know from you guys, would that change at all? Let's say, you know, they play the Chargers and Davis has like a really good game, as good a game as he could possibly have. Does your mind start to change, or is it just like, eh, he played a good game, you won, that's what you're supposed to do?
Absolutely. He's got 14 games to work
you
this thing
up. You can alter narratives.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't think one game should change anything ever.
No.
Never should game change.
He's got 14 games.
It should just alert you. Yeah. I'm a strong believer
and there's
in one
guy
game
out
to
there. That's not, he's not the guy. Okay. If he plays really well in these last 14 games.
But that same guy is going to say that if he's 14 for 14, he's going to say he's not the guy.
Right.
It's not going to change. It's at this point now, it's a wannabe
trending,
right.
Poor. Listen.
No, I don't think
right
he's
now,
the guy.
Right now, he's not the guy. If the draft was tomorrow, he'd not be the guy. You draft a quarterback. If he ends up playing really, really well, then he changes the narrative.
No, you can prove me wrong. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. But there are going to be some people who this is what they are. It's who they are. They don't want to be wrong, so they want Davis Mills.
That's not wrong because you can't make a decision on three games.
No. Yeah, and you couldn't. Last year was
He trended well. He was okay. So let's give him a chance. He didn't play well, then you wouldn't give him this chance right
there
now.
There was some good and some really bad. Okay. He was a third rounder who barely played college, you know, had 11 starts in college football. And there was offensive line issues. I mean, do people not remember that Laramie Tunsil was out most of the time that Davis Mills started?
He was gone. He was out most of the time, period. Let me ask you the question. Is it a negative that he didn't have any competition this offseason?
No, I don't think it's a negative necessarily. I think you got to – look, this is easy. Let's find out who Davis Mills is. You got a year where it's a good quarterback year. Let's find out who Davis Mills is.
Would things be any different if Kyle Allen was the quarterback these three games?
I don't feel like it.
No?
He's got NFL experience. Oh, what do you mean different? Like
Would they have won any of these games?
No, I don't think so. Kyle Allen's not very good.
Kyle Allen has come in and won some football games as a backup.
Yeah. Davis Mills won some games as a starter.
Yeah. Well, some. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he won some last year. So I don't think Kyle, if you think things would have been different with Kyle Allen, and that means Davis Mills for sure is not the guy.
Well,
I mean, your backup should not
be. Well, so for the way he's played.
If everything is equal, your backup should not be better than your starter.
No, right.
And if he is, then your starter is not a good.
We're finding that to be the case in Dallas.
Well, my feeling was, I think Cooper Rush is a good, against a bad Giant team. Let's wait a little bit.
No, I've already made up my mind on that one.
Cooper Rush is a backup. Cooper Rush is a less athletic, less release quickness Case Keenum. He'll be a guy that will do some things that you like, and you like having him on the roster, and that's fantastic.
Oh, you mean Case Keenum who went to the NFC Championship?
Yeah, but I don't think Cooper Rush could do that, be honest with you.
No, he can't, because when Dak comes back, they're going to put him back in there, and they're going to lose football games, and they're going
to
be happy.
The problem that you think Kyle Allen has a chance to be, did you watch him with Washington when he played? It's just not good. It's not good enough. It's not good enough.
No, I saw him with Carolina. He looked okay.
If we have to think about what's going on with Kyle Allen, then Davis Mills is not the guy. And that's why I wanted to keep the freight train from getting off the tracks too crazy early on, because there was nothing that Davis Mills did that made you – there was some stuff that say, ooh, let's see what's going on here. That's where I was with him. But I wasn't ready to crown his ass.
Well, that's you, but you're not even afraid of Toronto, so – I can't trust you.
No.
I can't trust you.
That's just me.
Right.
I just, try to be a little more pragmatic about it.
Okay,
but
whatever.
If I had to get, right now, Davis Mills is not the quarterback of the future.
No.
But he could change my mind.
He absolutely can. He's got 14 games.
I'm going to give him
a chance. Everybody's already made up their mind. Lance, it's over. He can't not possibly play well. So Davis Mills sucks.
But here's the thing. I've already seen this with tweets. So people are so black and white on issues where, okay, well, Davis Mills, no, give him a chance. Let's see what he can do. Lance thinks that Davis Mills is still the guy. No, I don't. What I think is I want to give him a 2 years to prove who he is. We're not a playoff team this year. Who cares? Let him prove who he is. I'm giving him a chance to prove who he is, and that doesn't stop after three games. There is no one behind him that they need to put in. Nobody for the whole year. Davis Mills plays. And then at the end of the year, when it's all said and done, it may be a very easy decision. It may be a tougher decision. I don't know. But this is going to be a good quarterback draft. You've got two first-round picks. My guess is, if I had to put money on it, Texans draft quarterback in the first round would be minus 250. Yes. 2.5 to 1, yes, they will draft a quarterback.
Yeah. Right now it's a big favorite.
Yeah.
Big favorite. 745 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know what he's been, wind death. What about liquid death?
Oh man, liquid death. So you can get liquid death. I took a picture of Snacks, my son Sebastian, with liquid death with his pancakes. My daughter, I can't keep her out of my daughter's sitting here chugging tall boys left and right of liquid death. And I am when I got home with my case, I was a death bringer. That's fine. I was a death bringer. I'm telling my kids, you can just call me death bringer. You don't have to call me dad, because I'm the one who brought the liquid death into the house. And now my kids are refreshed. And why wouldn't they be? Liquid death comes in the tall boy cans. It's ice cold. And it's not death per se. It actually is brutally murdering your thirst and giving you a little bit of life if you really want to know the truth. You can get it with three different types of flavors. You've got the still, you've got the sparkling, and of course you've got one with a little bit of agave in it that gives it a little bit of sweetness. So three different types of cans. They've got the heavy metal font that says Liquid Death, a skull on the front. And when you see kids drinking this, when you got it in their lunch kit, so they're outside after playing and they're drinking Liquid Death, they're popping open. You can hear the unmistakable of popping the pop top on a can. There's just something about seeing that that's great. Pregnant women drinking Liquid Death. People, what are you doing to the baby? Giving the baby delicious water? That's what I'm getting. It's ice cold. That's what I'm doing. Liquid Death is awesome. It's a lot of fun, and it's a great way to quench your thirst and brutally murder that thirst that you have right now, frankly. You can find it at your Kroger, at Target, at 7-Eleven here in Houston. In fact, there's a wide variety of places. Make sure that you go to liquiddeath.com/bench. That's liquiddeath.com/bench. This is a great new way to drink water and do it with an edge. liquiddeath.com/bench.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you at 713-780-3776. Ben's been here. And Frank, if you want to get back in here and talk about Astros, we can get back to that. Dana Holgorsen going to join us at the top of the hour here, a different time than usual because he's got a Friday night game against Tulane. And then Tayshaun Henry is going to join us at 8:15. Josh Pate to talk college football, a lot of college football in the 8 o'clock hour here today. Ben is here. What's up, Ben?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, if the Texans win or if they lose this week, what's your confidence meter on them getting to that crucial 5 wins? Also, what do you think the odds are of the Cougars getting to over 9 wins as well? I'll hang up and listen.
Ooh, let me start with the last one. Not great. Not great on the Cougars. They're struggling to beat everybody, including Rice, so... I'm going to say the over on wins for Cougs is not great right now. What about you have that guy basically just said he played the over on – he basically just told you, I played the over on the home teams, Cougars and Texans.
Well, yeah, I did too. And, you know, it's just we're scuffling. But you never know when they're going to turn it around. I don't know. There's 14 games left. I can see him going 10-4. The Texans in those 14 games.
This was not the energy you had on Monday.
Well, you know what? I'm optimistic, John, on Wednesdays, except for the Toronto Blue Jays. They scare me.
Right, okay. Right.
Other than
except for the Blue Jays.
Except for the Blue Jays.
That's, I don't like George. I don't like to see George.
No.
You know, Springer's magic over there. I know how dangerous Springy is.
No, that whole lineup is dangerous. Mm-hmm. They got a lot of good hitters in that lineup.
Our whole pitching staff's dangerous.
Yeah, that's true too. No. But and our lineup is dangerous.
You think they want to see the Astros?
No. I don't think anybody wants to see the Astros. No. Especially in the first round. And especially, with that
you
home
think
field
their game. Hosts are saying, we're 4-2 against the Astros. This is the series I want. No.
Remember in April when we were beating our ass?
Do y'all remember way back in April when it was 13 degrees here in Toronto?
Mm. Don't they play inside? Yeah.
Yeah, it was still 13 degrees in Toronto.
So,
they didn't have to play there.
So as far
remember
as
when nobody could come in if they didn't have a vaccine card?
Yeah.
Who did they play where the baseball team that barely had anybody?
Who was it that was going there that didn't have any players? Was it St. Louis traveling up there? I forget who it was.
Yeah, there was a baseball team that was missing like 9 players.
Yeah.
I think it was the Cardinals.
Back to 5 wins, the drive for 5. I'm down on it a little bit right now because a tie is as good as a loss. You have to actually win 5 games. And so that first one.
Okay, did you see, you did not count, when you were going through the schedule, you didn't count the Colts as a win?
No.
What was the second game? You Denver. Didn't count Denver as a win. At Denver with
I
Russell Wilson.
I don't think, no.
Now, you may have counted the Bears.
I did count the Bears as one.
Okay. But if Lovey would have gone for it instead of punting,
no,
you might have had
there
a
was
win.
A good chance they could be 2-1 in this in right now. And they're 0-3.
0-2-1.
No, they're
0-3.
As far
tie.
As wins go, they're 0-3.
Then they should have gone for it on the punt.
Yes, they should have.
Yeah.
Yes, they should have.
Because the tie means
when,
nothing.
I was so disgusted with them at the point, I just said, I don't care. Just take the tie.
But then,
I really
but then
was.
You realized, oh, wait. I literally, it's like not even making an attempt to win.
Yeah.
Like your you know, especially
my
if you have over,
my, yeah.
over 4.5 wins, if they would have gone for it, they would have given you a chance to win your bet.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And but you know what? I understood Lovey at the time. I understood his logic was we suck. We can't get 3 yards.
That wasn't his
No,
logic.
That's what he said.
He
Our
didn't
defense
say,
sucks right now. We can't stop them. Our offense can't get 4 yards. You know that
Well, I guess he did say those things.
Do you
things.
Know that they're 0 for the, I think it's 0 for their last six.
Third and one?
And third and one.
Mm-hmm.
They
don't trust Dame. They haven't gone to the Damian Pierce.
Or no, maybe that's for the season. They've got one Driscoll option that mm-hmm. they converted.
That's right. That's right.
That they converted. But otherwise, they're 0 for the other six. That yeah. sucks. That when you got Damian Pierce, that.
Well, how
sucks.
Many of those carries has he gotten? Any?
I think he's gotten one or he's gotten a couple.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he's gotten one. I know that.
He didn't get any, so because they turned into passes, too. They're not carries.
Well, that's because he checked out of the run.
Three of them were passes just this last game.
Yeah, he checks out of the run, which I would tell him, don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that again,
well,
Davis, because.
We'll see. To me, I'm still taken away that Damian Pierce looked fantastic in the runs that he was given an opportunity to really get it going. If they can block it up front a little bit, Damian Pierce has a chance to really control some games, I think. And that's why it's important to get a better second back than Rex Burkhead, because Rex doesn't have the ability to keep that momentum going. You need a Damian Pierce and someone else, and then you take the pressure off the quarterback position, whether it's Davis Mills or someone else in the future. If it's Davis Mills, it's obvious the guy needs to be a game manager. He's not a playmaker. He needs to be a game manager. The best way to manage games, run the ball effectively. And don't goof around third and short, Pep. Stop pulling these shenanigans or stop checking out of things, Davis Mills, and start getting some first downs by giving it to the little freight train. Give it to the tank and let him do his business.
Yep. All right, quickly, let's get Frank in here because we got Dana on the other side. Hey, Frank.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing? Yeah,
I just wanted to tell you guys, I was listening last night, and the media was hyping up the Yankees, but they got three guys that might be coming back from the IL. The Dodgers have 106 wins, so everybody thinks the Dodgers are the best team, and they won in the COVID year. All I want this year is for the Astros to go through the postseason and hand everybody their backsides. That way there's no more doubts about 2017s, and Altuve and all these guys get vindicated, and everybody outside of the great state of Texas starts respecting exactly how great of a baseball team we have in here. It's irritating every day to see them get that lack of respect and knowing that we're chasing our franchise high in wins. It just bothers me, man. I know you guys probably be on the same thing, so I'll just shut up and listen.
Thanks, Frank. Yeah, I think we're all on the same page. You'd love to see the Astros beat all the tricks out there, like the Yankees and Dodgers. Now, the nature of who I am now, John, is sometimes I get scared, too, when things are going well, and I just think they can't continue to go well. But the Astros have kind of changed that with me. I used to really be bad about that because that was the Oiler fan. And even the Rockets, I mean, my Rockets team should have shaken me from that, but I couldn't get shaken from it, especially with the Astros, you know, the 98 disaster. And there's just this version of the Astros, Jose Altuve's Astros, they rarely don't come up clutch.
No.
Even when they haven't won in a World Series, it's because I think they were beaten by, well, they A.J. Hinch made a mistake against Washington, and they were beaten by a better Braves team. That's what it is. With that said, I do believe that a World Series win this year, four trips to the World Series, a World Series win, you can't keep Jose Altuve out of the even first ballot. I don't think you can keep him out. Is Jose Altuve one of the five best second basemen to play the game ever?
Yeah, yes.
I think
yes.
So, too. I don't even think we're even at a point of debate right now.
No. Listen, the Dodgers are in some trouble, bro. Gonsolin out. Walker Buehler's done for the season.
Mm-hmm.
Uh, who they've got. Who else they've got?
Kershaw's still hurt.
No, Kershaw's pitching.
Is he back?
They got fully two healthy? Guys. Dustin May just got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be their third starter. Now they've got to start Tyler Anderson, who's been pitching great, but yet they didn't want him to be the third starter. The Dodgers are in some trouble. The Dodgers will not be in the World Series. The Dodgers aren't getting it out of the National League.
You don't think so?
Nope.
You still been. You're still
Mets.
Of
the Braves. It's the Mets of the Braves. And I'm telling you, here and now,
the Dodgers still have enough pitching, though.
Dodgers do not have enough pitching for this.
Well, I'm the type of guy that I don't have to.
They don't have a closer.
I hope the Dodgers win, so we get to play the Dodgers.
They had to.
I hope they lose.
They had to drop Kimbrel out of the. They don't have a closer.
Yeah, Kimbrel has been bad.
A disaster. All right. When we come back, Dana Holgorsen joins us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we're talking about U of H, and we're talking about getting out to the ballgame. It's Friday night. I'm going. I want you guys to go as well. It's a blackout game. It's Hispanic Heritage Month, and U of H is going to take on Tulane in their conference opener. This is a big game. You got the UH Mariachi Pumas and the Spirit of Houston. They're going to perform at halftime. Ticket special, $10 while they last. You want to get in for $10, you can get that. Listen. It's Entertainment Friday night. It's going to be a nice night, and it's going to be a great. Listen, it's college football. We want to go out there. This team is going to turn it around, and it is going to play well. Tailgating starts at 2. That's always fun. It's a great tailgate. Cougar Walk at 3:45. You got the cheerleaders, Cougar Dolls, Shasta, Sasha, all performing. DJ Yobi Yobs or Yabby Yobs, I don't know what it is in the student section. Don't miss all the fun. Pageantry, college football, Friday night against Tulane, the conference opener, first conference game. Come early, be loud, and wear black. It's at uhcougars.com/tickets or go Cougs. 713-GO-COUGS.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.